From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of January, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson out of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Elaine Cupp will join us for our wintertime look at marketing terms. In agricultural news, members of Congress are convinced they can reform U.S. immigration laws. USDA has cut food safety audits conducted on imported meat, and government study shows leafy green vegetables are the primary food poisoning threat to Americans. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also during this half hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I'll tell you all about our meeting schedule next week. We'll have Will Ag Outlook panels 4 of 5 days next week, starting in Muhammad on Monday, in Sycamore on Tuesday, at Peoria on Wednesday, and on Thursday, Dave will be down at Richards Farm Restaurant in Casey. You can find all of those events on our website at willag.org, and the way to sign up for our all-day agricultural outlook meeting over at the Beef House. That one's the 5th day of March, 2013. The number to call, 217-333-7300. It's all part of the service from WILL Agriculture, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit were down 2.25 on their settlement price for the lead option March contract at $7.77. The May futures at $7.85 3/4, 2.25 lower at $7.85 3/4 was the settlement price. In July at $7.91 1/4, settlement there down 1¢ 1/4. July hard red up 1/4 in Kansas City at $8.51 1/2, and the corn pit in Chicago showed a higher in the nearby contract March at $7.29 1/2, up 0.25 cent. The May futures up just 3/4 at $7.30 for the afternoon, and July corn at $7.20 1/2 unchanged. September futures $6.10 1/2, down 3 on the settlement price. In December at $5.87, down 3. Next year's March corn, $5.97, down 3 cents for the day. Beans futures finished at $14.51 3/4. They were up 4. The May at $14.39 3/4, up 6 1/4. And July at $14.29 1/2, up 6 3/4. November soybeans at $13.12 3/4, a settlement price there, up 2 3/4. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. The products for the soybeans in Chicago finished the bean meal at $4.23.50, up $3.20. Bean oil at $51.71, down 18 cents. Live cattle futures in the April at $132.97 1/2, down 42 1/2. The March at $148.82 1/2, down $1.07 1/2 in the feeder cattle. And the lean hogs at $89.62 1/2 were up 57 1/2 cents. The outside markets show us crude oil at $97.43 a barrel, up 99 cents. The RBOB, our wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.97, up 3.5 cents, and ethanol at $2.40 1/2. That's up 0.2 cents. The spread between the two is 56.5 cents wide. That's 3 3/10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.22 6/10, down 6 3/10, and heating oil at $3.10 7/10, 4 6/10 higher. Gold futures on the afternoon up $7.90 at $1,660.80 an ounce, and the U.S. dollar at 79.56. That's up, or rather down, 0.18 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast says for the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall. A high near 67 degrees this afternoon. Should be breezy with a south wind at 23 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 34. The chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 80%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall. A low of 42, breezy with a south wind at 18 to 23 miles an hour. It'll turn to the west southwest at 11 to 16 after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 33. Chance of rain this evening, 100% in the area. And then that chance of rain will continue right through the noon hour tomorrow. After that, rain should turn to snow, cloudy, and a temperature falling all the way to 32. It'll be breezy by 5 o'clock in the afternoon with a northwest wind at 13 to 18 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of January. On the phone line for Tuesday afternoon, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Thank you so much for coming to our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event and for making the donation that inspired that particular event back when you and Paul Cooley and Jackie Vakes put in and purchased the meat from the Grand Champion Barrow at the Illinois State Fair that was sold on auction at the Salute to Ag Day event over here at the football game.
You know, it was great to just continue to put things together, and what a wonderful thing that Orion could come down and still be part of it, because the first donation went for scholarships to the University of Illinois, and the second event went for scholarships to the University of Illinois. So, you know, just a continuing thing, and maybe we can continue the theme somehow for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. We were supporting the hospitality management and the agricultural communications programs. Part of that money, of course, going to the Jim Evans Endowment Fund so that we can ensure that there's always a professor of agricultural communications here on campus. I happen to be an alumnus of that particular program back in 1986. So personally, thank you so much. Let's turn our attention now, Wayne, to what happened in Chicago today. What was the word from the floor?
Well, I think that basically we had a little bit of profit-taking earlier in the overnight as we started up, and as we got into the day, the weather forecasts shifted a little bit. You know, we saw that maybe there was going to be a little less rain in northern Argentina and southern Brazil. The noon forecasts last week showed significant rains in early February, and then they pushed that back from the 6 to 10 into the 11 to 15, and then now we're back into the 11 to 15, and, you know, it's just a very unsure forecast, so we added a little weather premium back in for that. Basically, we're seeing continued tight old crop stocks and farmers being very stubborn sellers, and, you know, the backup of boats to load down in Brazil, you know, it's stretched out to 45 days now, so that's keeping an awful lot of interest on old crop corn and old crop beans here in the U.S.
Now, will it be able to keep that interest alive? 45 days is long enough to get through the February crop insurance setting month.
Well, you know, it looks like maybe it's going to be at least the middle or second half of February before we see a lot of progress down there. Mato Grosso, basically the main bunch of their beans should be 25 to 30 days off. And with this continued moisture falling in the northern area, looks like we're delaying harvest, you know, even if it's just another 5 to 10 days along the way. Why, that's another 5 to 10 days that the boats are backed up. And, you know, we're the grocery store that can load out the best.
Hey, when you run the numbers for next year's crop, which makes better economic sense crop insurance-wise? And
corn.
Okay.
I believe we talked about this a little bit on Friday night. I think if you look at the farm doc figures and what we look at, and even the drag for double crop corn, we're seeing that corn for that high-priced cash rent ground. Now, I don't know how it fits in a lot of people's rotations and the idea of the yield drag on the double crop corn and to keep it back up there. And also for just harvesting, is figuring whether you can harvest all corn in the fall or that way. But right now, the best one figuring is the corn, looking at where we're at and basically what we think it'll be at the end of the time period.
It makes economic sense, but only if you purchase crop insurance, I suppose.
The revenue protection crop insurance. I mean, basically, or possibly the GRIP, I mean, along the way. But it is definitely the one that comes out on top as we speak right now. So, you know, we are looking at that. I've talked to a couple guys that are looking, putting ground out for cash rent, and they're saying that as they are getting bids back on it, they're bidding more if they say they can plant all corn.
You know, here's a question I have for you, because about 20% of the people, farmers in the state of Illinois, do not carry crop insurance. I suppose first you would tell them that they should. If they refuse to do that, should they do in the marketplace if they're going to plant corn?
Well, I think that very much along the way, and we won't tell them they need insurance. We don't know what their financial situation is and what's going on. But we will tell them that if they don't, and they want to have a profitable business in farming this year, that we'd put some puts underneath some of these prices, because as we've all said and seen in all of our Outlook meetings and all of the predictions and whatever, that if we plant the acreage of the corn that we're talking about getting planted, and farmers up at 99.3, but even if we cut back to 96, 97 million acres of corn, basically, if we do not have a weather situation, we will not be at the prices we're at now. We're probably a dollar over where we will probably be this fall. So now, that doesn't mean we aren't going to have a weather situation, but I'd rather have a little protection in there if I had my druthers, I guess.
Anything else to add before I let you go for today?
That's about it for today, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and, of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House Continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting things, including a calendar that's out front right at the moment with a list of all the programming that we will have next week. And Dave and I will be on the road 4 out of the 5 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Mahomet, and then Sycamore, Peoria, and then on Thursday in Casey. If you're interested in seeing one of those Ag Outlook panels, you can find all the details at willag.org. I'll tell you more about those a bit later in the program. If you hit that particular panel on our website, whichever one you want to go to, you'll find all the details. And in a couple particular places in Sycamore as well as in Peoria, a couple of links and some attachments that you can download and see what's happening with Castle Bank and the Pork Expo. Now, here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, leading Democratic and Republican senators pledged yesterday to propel far-reaching immigration legislation through the Senate by summer, providing a possible path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people now in the U.S. illegally. Besides the citizenship provision, including new qualifications, the measure would allow more temporary workers to stay and crack down on employers who would hire illegal immigrants. The legislation calls for creating an effective high-tech employment verification system to allow that employers do not hire illegal immigrants in the future, and it allows for more low-skill and agricultural workers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has cut the number of food safety audits it conducts on foreign countries that ship meat to the U.S. as part of an overhaul the agency says will allow it to focus on the riskiest imports. U.S. officials are now only conducting audits of safety laws in meat exporting countries at least once every 3 years instead of on a mandatory annual basis. Countries with a history of food safety violations will get closer scrutiny. USDA is also relying heavier now on written reports it requires foreign countries to fill out about safety measures. A government study says that leafy green vegetables is the leading source of food poisoning illnesses in the U.S. However, the most food-related deaths were from contaminated chicken and other poultry. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released the study today. It's based on an analysis of food poisoning cases from 1998 through 2008. The CDC estimates that roughly 1 in 6 Americans, or 48 million people, gets sick from food poisoning each year. U.S. consumer confidence plunged in January to its lowest level in more than a year, reflecting higher Social Security taxes that left Americans with less money for take-home pay. The Conference Board, a private research group, said its index of consumer confidence fell to 58.6 in January from a revised 66.7 in December. Consumer expectations for economic activity over the next 6 months plunged again to 59.5 from December's 68.1% reading. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. He and I will be out 4 out of 5 days next week with our Will Ag Outlook panels on Monday. Dave will be at the Farm Credit Services Building in Mahomet with Matt Bennett, Kurt Kimmel, and Jackie Vakes. That one starts at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. I'll be up in Sycamore at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Farm Bureau Building there in DeKalb County. Joe Vaklevic, Jackie Vakes, and Dan Zwicker will be with me. That one starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on Wednesday, we'll come back to the Pork Expo in Peoria, Illinois. Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services, David Nelson from Rabobank, and Dan Zwicker will be there. You can find all the details for that one at ilpork.com, but just come to the Peoria Civic Center. We'll be on the stage at 1:30 in the afternoon. It does cost $10 to get in to the Pork Expo, but should be really worth your while, not only to see the expo, but Sue and David and Dan and myself. And then on Thursday, Dave will be down in Casey with Sherm Newland, Jackie Vakes, and Mike Zuzolo. So lots of interesting folks to see and listen to next week as we're on the road 4 out of the 5 days. You can see the complete list and all the details of our Will Ag Outlook panels next week. 4 out of 5 days. Find them all at willag.org. Well, it's time to define a marketing term. Commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Lane Cubb, joins us. She believes, of course, the key to profitable grain trading is building knowledge about the fundamental practices of the industry. Today, she'll help us define old and new crop. Thanks, Elaine, for taking the time with us. Those who are farmers generally have a pretty good idea of what old and new crop might be. What kind of definition do you have?
Well, it really is just a very literal description, right? The old crop is the crop that has been grown. It is in existence. It's the dry grain sitting around in bins. And the new crop is the upcoming crop. So anything that will be planted this spring going forward into the fall. So that's really all it is. It's just a description of two different crop years because these are annual crops and there's only one per year.
And in marketing terms, these can be laid out in the futures by contract?
Yes, absolutely. And this is where it becomes critical to pay attention to it, is if you're trading these futures contracts, you really need to know which crop you're trading. 2013 is a really great example. So the March 2013 contract, which is the most heavily traded contract right now, for instance, that's reflecting the supply and demand of grain that was grown in 2012. That's an old crop contract. But when you look forward into the September 2013, or especially the December 2013 futures contract, now that's a reflection of the crop that will be grown in 2013. And so the supply and demand for that is completely different. I mean, we could have all kinds of corn be grown in 2013. We could be up to our ears in grain by the time that comes around. And for now, we are, you know, rather shorthanded of the supply. So you're trading two completely different supply and demand pictures, and that needs to be kept straight.
And this also puts us into the marketing year, which USDA uses each and every year to define the crops by year.
The thing to keep in mind here is that it's slightly different for the row crops. Corn and soybeans are marketed, according to the USDA, all of their annual projections are made between September 1st and August 31st. But for wheat, the marketing year is from July 1st of the year to June 30th of the next year.
Then there are demarcations based on all of that as to what the lead month for the new crop year might be. For instance, for corn, it's December. For soybeans, it is November, right? And then for the wheat?
Well, for wheat, July is typically the new crop market. But I'll make a statement here that a lot of times the September corn contract will behave as a new crop contract because, especially in a year when early planting comes or when there's a lot of it coming up out of the south because it gets harvested earlier. And the other thing to keep in mind is that those September contracts are different than the oilseed contracts. You know, they trade in August and November months that corn and wheat don't trade in. So things get a little different when you're trading soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil.
Which months, Elaine, have contracts, and how did those come to be in the trade?
Well, for the grains, the corn futures trade and wheat futures trade on the March, the May, the July, the September, and the December contracts. So there are obviously several months that don't have a corn futures contract associated with them. But then it gets funnier when you get into the soybean futures, the oilseed futures, including soybean oil and soybean meal. You have January, March, May, July, August, September, and November. So some of these are the same as the grain contracts, but some of them are different. And how did this come about? It's because the soybean plant's reproduction schedule is different. They just tend to be harvested earlier, they mature earlier, and so that's why they just have different trading patterns.
It would be nice if each of the contracts were listed as December and or November, October, January, May, July, whatever that might be. But oftentimes when you look at a screen displaying the numbers from the CME Group or the Kansas City Board of Trade or the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, there are some really goofy letter abbreviations.
Yes. And I think, I mean, you and I look at these screens now and it's just second nature, but I try to remember what it was like starting in the industry and I had no idea what CH13 meant. What that means is C for corn, H for March, and 13 for 2013. So it's an abbreviation system to keep track of the months because we can't have J stand for June because J could also be July or January. And we can't have, you know, we can't have O because those could be 1 or 0. So what they've established is just, it looks arbitrary, but it's alphabetical. January is F, February is G, so on and so forth. The ones that grain traders could keep in mind would be March is H, May is K, November is X, and December is Z.
Can you spread one month against another?
You absolutely can, and that it becomes a very important thing to do with commercial traders, the grain companies and elevators that are storing grain. They need to be paying attention to the spreads. This is the differences between the prices of two given months to pay attention to how the market may reimburse them for storing it from one month to the next.
That's Elaine Cubb, broker, commodity analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Market. She's joined us periodically through the winter months to discuss some marketing terms.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We'll return in just a couple of moments. Couple of minutes, actually, when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Corn Chip Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1817, William Farrell was born. An American meteorologist, he contributed significantly to the understanding of oceanic and atmospheric circulation. Farrell was the first to mathematically demonstrate the influence of the planet's rotation on the presence of high and low pressure belts circling the Earth. In 1878, the first patent for a glass milk container was issued to George Lester. In 1924, Carl R. Taylor of Cleveland patented the first U.S. ice cream cone rolling machine. In 1927, Louis Urey was born. A Canadian-American chemical engineer, he invented alkaline batteries, which now account for about 80% of all dry cell batteries sold in the world. Urey's prototype alkaline battery is on display at the Smithsonian Institution. And in 1934, Fritz Haber died, a German physical chemist. His development of a method of synthesizing ammonia led to the commercial large-scale production of nitrogen fertilizer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to take a look at the weather forecast. Don, it's raining and it's going to keep raining for a while. Tell me about the pattern that is moving its way across the Midwest.
Well, yeah, it's warmed up and we're going to get rain, but then right behind the rain, here comes another wave of colder weather that's coming. We're going to be looking at a good shot of rain and thunderstorm activity across many areas of the Corn Belt, the Mississippi-Missouri valleys, the Ohio Valley, and then luckily, for some folks on the backside of the system, when it turns to ice and snow, the heaviest part of the precipitation will be over. But do expect a rapid drop in temperature and a period of time of below normal temperatures that will move in behind the storm system for late Thursday and into Friday and the weekend, going to get very cold again.
Now, this rain system is dropping much needed rain on areas like Missouri, parts of southeastern Iowa, and moving to the west. I don't know whether I'd call it at a rapid pace, but it's moving to the west and should come through, I think, our area. What time this evening?
Well, it's going to be, basically taking place fairly quickly. As we get on into, I would say sundown and thereafter, then overnight tonight is when you should expect the bulk of the precipitation to come on in.
Heavy rainfall?
Yeah, I could see areas that go a half inch to an inch or more out of this, especially with some of the embedded thunderstorms, before the cold air swoops in on the back side of this and shuts off the heavier precipitation.
How cold is the cold air?
It's pretty cold. It's not very far from the cold air that we just had and is what we went through. So expect similar temperatures, maybe 5 degrees warmer, but pretty darn cold. So it's going to be a big chill. The air behind this system is coming from the same place the last one did.
And then turn your attention to South America. Argentina's been having some troubles.
Well, they have. And while the forecast has some rain shower and thunderstorm activity over Argentina, it's still not the amount, I think, to level the playing field in terms of catching up for the dryness, although the precipitation chances do look a little bit better than they've been.
And other places around the planet that you're concerned about or that look like they're setting up for a nice growing season in 2013?
Well, Australia has been hot and pretty dry. They've cooled off a little bit, but they're still looking to be hot and dry there, and that is one area that we're keeping an eye on.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to dial in for your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. The number is 217-333-7300. And to check out our calendar at willag.org, Dave and I'll be on the road with Ag Outlook panels 4 out of 5 days next week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Don't miss the 2013 Illinois Pork Expo, February the 5th and 6th at the Peoria Civic Center, featuring educational seminars, a trade show, and a special market outlook. On the 6th, that's moderated by me, Todd Gleason. More information at ilpork.com.